Hey everyone, it's Emily, your host for the Asian Female Lead podcast. Originally from Singapore, Tanya had moved to New York City, where she pursued mechanical engineering and physics at Columbia University. After graduation, she went on to design rockets at NASA, airplanes at Boeing, and electric motors at Virgin Hyperloop One. Recently, she started her own venture called Hexagon, using 3D CAD software to design jewelry. Together, we talk about her adjustment coming back to Singapore, what it was like starting a new business, finding love, and how her identity has changed throughout the years.
Welcome, Tanya. Welcome to the Asian Female Lead.
Yay. I'm so excited to be here.
Good. I'm glad. So one of the questions that I get in Singapore actually is like, where are you from? But that only happens when I open my mouth and I speak and they're like, oh, you know, you're not Singaporean. But I do look Asian. Mm-hmm. So if I don't say anything, I could probably blend in.
Yeah.
Whereas I think for you, does anyone ever ask you like, where are you from?
And then, I mean, it's funny because in Singapore, mm-hmm. they call me Ang Mo, right? Which is like foreigner, mm-hmm. basically. And a lot of people think I am actually not from here and I'm fully born and not Asian at all. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm half Singaporean Chinese and half American. And when I say American, I mean that my dad is from originally from Poland, Russia, all that kind of mix, and now he's just in the US. But yes, in Singapore they think I'm not from here, and then when I'm in the US they're like, oh yeah, you're full Chinese. And so it's kind of like interesting to see what, you know, people think of me and categorize me in that sense. But where am I from? So I usually say Singapore, because I mean I am born in Singapore and I did live here my whole life, even though I guess we can get into that later, but it was in a little bit of a foreigner bubble when I grew up here. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't live in the US for 10 years of my adult life, but even when I was there, I would have said to most people, I'm from Singapore. Mm-hmm. Unless I didn't feel like going down that conversation, then I'll be like, I'm from Connecticut, New York. Just list some of the places I've lived in there.
What's your spiel though? Or like in a quick snippet, do you say like, I'm... you know, because for me, I'm like, I'm Taiwanese American from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I say.
Oh, yeah. I like that. It's like a tagline for yourself. I should come up with a really cool, witty one.
Yeah.
I say I'm from Singapore, uh-huh. but my mom's Singaporean and my dad's American.
Okay.
And if I say that, people are just like, okay, explained, done.
Mm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I think you and I have talked about what it was like being a third culture kid before. Mm. So can you just quickly define like what a third culture kid is in your own terms and what it was like growing up a third culture kid?
Oh gosh. Okay, third culture kid. I guess where you are born in one place and a culture and you live and grow up somewhere else, even though that's not really where you're from or where your parents are from. But you really do kind of assimilate into that culture. But then it kind of makes you confused. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But I feel like for me, I am like a fake third culture kid because technically I was born in Singapore, mm. right? And I am Singaporean. So technically that makes me not a third culture kid, but I would say I've really felt it because when I grew up in Singapore, I basically went to like international school my whole life here. And that means that all my friends were from the US. I went to the American school. They're all from the US. Mm-hmm. I really had zero local friends, which is until I came back now. But growing up, that's actually quite sad. And I did have my mom's side of the family and some cousins on there. But it really didn't feel like I was a Singaporean growing up. And I wish I did have that aspect. Yeah, I wish I had more local friends. I wish I maybe went to local school for a little bit. Yeah, so my dad's from the US, so we would spend all our summers and winters in the US. So it really was kind of like a split time here and there. But yeah, I didn't really realize that what the difference really was. Like when I was in the US, oh, I was happy there. When I was in Singapore, oh, I was happy here. Mm-hmm. Until later down the road. Like now, where I'm a little bit like, okay, so where do I feel like it's home? Mm-hmm. And I still can't answer that. So
yeah, it's It's interesting because, you know, what you've mentioned, you grew up in Singapore for a while.
Yeah.
But because you went to international school, you're surrounded by people who, you know, obviously spoke like an American. And so you also developed in a kind of like an American accent.
My accent is like American.
Yeah, it is. Like, I feel like you're one of us. But that must have been hard. Like, even for me as well, like, I'm Taiwanese American, but sometimes, like, when I go back to Taiwan, I don't feel like I belong there either. And then back in the US, I don't feel that I'm American as well, or I don't look American.
Yeah.
So when you went to the US and you went to school, like, you went for school for undergrad, is that correct?
Yes, undergrad.
Okay.
And grad school as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah.
I would say because when I was in the States, I was there for 10 years, and I was actually really homesick when I was there.
Yeah.
I was always like, oh, I miss this food. I miss chicken rice. You know, oh, Singapore, we have MRTs there. It's like so much better. Because when I was living in New York, it's like, man, these subways are so dirty. Like, Singapore is so much better. And now that I'm here, I'm like, oh shoot, like, I'm pretty American as well. Like, I miss a lot. I never thought I would say, but I miss even like Walmart. okay, maybe not. I miss Costco. Okay. I miss Costco. Yeah. You know, just a lot of things there I really do miss. I miss road trips and like a lot of the just pop culture and shows and stuff. They don't have that here.
Yeah.
So I do, before I would have been like, I am like 80% Singaporean, 20% American, and now I feel like it's kind of like a 50-50 split.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to see how you've grown up in Singapore and then went to the US, and your identity changes as you grow as well, based on like your environment and like even like culture. What have been like the core values that you've kept from more of like a Singaporean cultural standpoint? Like, is there anything that your parents taught to you at a young age that you kind of kept, you know, while growing up?
I guess for like my Singaporean side, well, my parents were very academic, first of all. Mm. They were like, you have to get good grades, you have to go to good school, or else, you know, don't come home. I know that I love my parents, they're great, but they were pretty scary on that front. Like, you had to get into good college. You know, I had piano lessons every weekend. I had Chinese tutoring, even though I still can't really speak Chinese, which is sad. Everything, math, you have to join math honor society, all that type of stuff. So I could really relate to a lot of, you know, the
kind of tiger parents.
Tiger Asian parents type of thing. And that kind of has stayed with me throughout. It's just like the work hard, get good grades, get a good school aspect. That I would say so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's definitely like a current theme that we see in all of our Asian parents. The emphasis on like math and like science.
Math and science.
Yeah, is that something that you liked when they were pushing you towards it, or is that something that you grew to like after
I
that?
Grew to like. Mm. I mean, I never like loved math, right? Yeah.
Some people like that. I mean, like, numbers, yay.
Yeah, I wasn't like dying to go to math class. I was like, yes, let's do like some addition. I think it's something that I grew to like because I actually started getting good at it in high school.
Okay.
But before that, I was like, no way.
And your career after college as well, right? Like, do you want to explain more like what you did afterwards? And you, know, you went into engineering and...
Oh yeah, my gosh, okay. So, I mean, one thing I was always interested in is space. So, when I went to college, I decided to study mechanical engineering. Because I was like, you know what, I'm going to be an astronaut one day. I'm going to go to space, or and I'm going to build like a rocket and all that type of stuff. And I was like, you know, one way to get there is engineering. So yeah, I went to engineering. I did my undergrad in that, and I actually liked it so much I did 1 year of grad school in it as well. So I did it both in mechanical engineering. Yeah, so then after that, you know, I had some jobs, like, you know, I had an internship at NASA, which was quite fun. I got to work on their rocket, and I was like, woohoo, my dream come true. Okay, great. And then I went to Boeing, and I was working on their commercial aircrafts, and I was doing the interiors of them. So, you know, if you have Singapore Airlines come see you and like, okay, I want more economy seats. Let's get rid of some first class. then they would come to us and we would kind of do all the engineering behind that to make it happen. And then after that, I kind of wanted to join more of like a startup because I'm somebody who likes to do kind of everything. I get bored if you just make me do like one thing.
Yeah.
And at these big engineering companies, that's how it works, right? I mean, if I'm flying an airplane, I want to make sure that whoever's like even designing that little panel is doing a great job. Yes. It has a panel experience. So you need that. So I joined Virgin Hyperloop One, where I got to do everything. I was working on the propulsion and levitation system there. And I was doing a lot of the structural analysis on there. And then I also did a lot of project management for them because I was like, I want to manage some projects because I see myself going in that direction. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was really great fun. But then after that, I was super happy and I loved LA. I loved my job, loved everything, but I was still homesick. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? If I'm still homesick and I'm like, you know, living a very happy life here, mm-hmm. I think it's time to go back to my family. Mm-hmm. And that's when I came back to Singapore. Mm-hmm. And I'm still kind of trying to figure out my career life. But in terms of engineering, that's what I did.
No, that's great. That's incredible. That's awesome. I love the fact that you're like, oh, this is what I'm interested in, which is space. And you really kind of just wedged your way in there and worked on these like crazy, insane, cool projects. So kudos to you. That's awesome. At that pivotal moment when you kind of like, you know, were finishing up your years in New York, or mm-hmm. what was like that switch that was like, I want to go home now? Like, how did you come to that? Was it something that like triggered you? Like, was it eating chicken rice in New York? You're like, this tastes bad. I'm going back to Singapore. What was that?
I really am like someone who's so hard on myself, which is something I'm actually working on. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was like, okay, I am so homesick every day. Like, I used to cry. I was just so homesick, even though I'm like party, having fun on the outside, right? But for me, I didn't want to run away from that, right? I didn't want to move back home because I'm homesick. Mm-hmm. I wanted to try to, you know, like make it in the US, you know, get the jobs I wanted to get, meet people, move to LA. That was one of my biggest dreams as well. And I couldn't do any of that if I moved back here because I was homesick, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it was more like, okay, just try to be happy in the States, try to be happy. And when I reached that point where I was in LA, where I was actually truly happy, like I had everything I could ever wanted and I was very satisfied with my life, but I still felt like something was missing. Mm-hmm. So I came home for about a month during Christmas just to kind of like test things out, see what's up here. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't even know I was moving back yet. It was on the plane ride back to the US mm-hmm. where I was like, oh, I think it's time. Mm-hmm. Like my family needed some help. My sister needed help from me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel like I've done everything I wanted to do in the States. Mm-hmm. So I went back and that week I packed my bags and then came back to Singapore.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was really sad. I actually like really, really miss my old job and my old team. Yeah.
That's very interesting. I think sometimes it's also not like you're homesick for a place, but also like the people.
Yeah.
Right? Like the calling of, you know, the people who grew up with you or the people who like took care of you, like your parents and your sister, like those are the gravitational like pools that make you come back to a certain place.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was looking for love too, but.
And you found it. So actually everything worked out very well.
I know. That worked out.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's talk about dating on side tangent.
Oh, God.
How is dating in Los Angeles?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I have dated a lot of interesting people.
Yeah.
I used to be somebody that my friends called the serial dater. Is that one of the serial?
Like you date a lot of people?
Yeah, I would always have like a boyfriend and then like I would break up and then I would just have another boyfriend immediately. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I was going for rebounds. It was just when I think back into it, I was like falling in love with all of them. Mm. But now that I think about it, it's like kind of like my own fault that I couldn't figure out what I was looking for. So I was like, ooh, I think I'm looking for this guy. And then after like a few months, actually not really. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the type of person I work out with.
Yeah.
LA is difficult to date.
Yeah.
People there are interesting, but you come away with the best stories.
Yeah.
but I don't know who's watching this, so I better keep quiet and my mouth shut. Okay.
For another time. Camera.
Yeah, if you want to know, you can reach out to me.
And then you moved back to Singapore, and then you met your fiancé, who's Singaporean as well.
Yeah, I met my fiancé, and I met him when I was in such a good place as well, because it's about timing sometimes. And I didn't date anybody or hook up or anything for 7 months when I came back. And that is a long time for me, and people were like, are you okay? Are you going through something? But actually, I was really just living my best life, working my ass off. Just, you know, if I met someone, I would meet someone, and that's what happened. And yeah, so my fiance, he is Singaporean. He's fully Singaporean, but he's also, you know, he had a lot of experience in the States. He was there for 9 years as well.
Oh, wow.
So he went there for high school, and then he went there for college, and then he stayed 1 year after. Mm-hmm. So we both have kind of that, you know, U.S. experience, but whereas he is definitely like, this is his home, for me, I'm still kind of like split 50-50. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see. Was it important for you to find someone who could also call Singapore their home?
Yeah, that's something I realized. Like, I hate to say I moved to Singapore also for love, but like, besides the homesick thing and my family, like, yeah, it's difficult for me to not date somebody or settle down with somebody who Singapore is not their base.
I completely understand. Because it's also like, you've both been abroad, you've both like had and created an identity overseas and now brought it back to home.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need someone to like be able to like relate to that and share the same struggles, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
No. 2020 wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. Yeah. We did get engaged this year.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. Not the engagement. I mean, like, my other work life and everything. That was difficult this year, but it was nice that I at least had my dating life kind of sorted.
Yeah. Do you also want to talk about Hexagon a little bit as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ooh, okay. So, during my little crisis this year, I was kind of, I took the year to kind of figure out what is something I really want to do that I can create that is, I feel like, is giving a part of myself to the world before I go back to maybe a full-time job and I can still run this thing. And one thing that actually my fiance sparked is that when we got engaged, he was like, well, what ring do you want? And I was like, I don't know, like a normal one, I guess, with like a diamond on it. Like, I didn't know anything about jewelry.
Yeah.
And that was when, like, I was like, oh my gosh, I really don't know anything about jewelry. This is bad. I don't really wear jewelry. I probably should know a thing or two. So I actually went to Bangkok in February.
Okay.
And this was before COVID. Mm-hmm. Obviously. Well, no, COVID was around, but we could still travel towards the end of it. Yep. So I went to Bangkok and I went to this thing called the Gems and Jewelry Fair. Mm-hmm. And there I just kind of like, you know, talking to gemologists, and what I was interested in was all of the silver and gold manufacturers and like people who, a lot of handcrafters as well. Because it's kind of similar to engineering, right? There's a lot of, I'm a structural engineer, and I deal a lot with like aluminum and steel. Mm-hmm. And I found this interesting because, you know, you're engineering now like silver and gold, you're working with metals.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna take this year to create a little jewelry brand that I felt like represented a part of me. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is I could use all of my like engineering 3D CAD software to make the designs. Mm-hmm. And then I spent like 9 months working with all these different manufacturers and handcrafters to figure out like who could give me the best quality, you know, silver and gold chains. So to launch, I launched this year, and I wanted to do a design that I felt like also gave back. So this is kind of like a pre-launch to give back to, you know, all the doctors and nurses, healthcare workers, but also just our own mental health this mm-hmm. year, because it was a really rough year for all of us. So I came out with these little mask designs, and I actually do have it here, but I think it's a bit small.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, the chains are break-proof, and they really are. My friends also have confirmed this.
Which is great.
But it's like a little tiny mask, And it's like a little tiny, just like a pendant in the shape of like a little surgical mask. And on the back, it's either heart or the words 2020 hero engraved on it. And some of the proceeds go towards donating like a N95 mask, and I'm hoping actually right now other medical equipment to hospitals and healthcare workers who can't afford it, because it really is a real problem. Like COVID is everywhere, right? And especially in all these poor countries who do need help with their medical supplies. So I do it through Save the Children, which is an organization I love and I'm very passionate about, because they help children all over the world with their focus is education. So that is a brand that I launched this year. Yay. And I am super excited about it. It's not easy. I've definitely learned a lot, but it's a great journey.
No, I love the fact that you also use your like engineering background and skill set to create jewelry. Yeah. Anyone interested, I'll definitely link it in the context below of the podcast or anywhere. So please check it out and support Tanya and the healthcare workers.
And if you're in Singapore, there's a 20% discount.
Ooh.
If you use the code Singapore20.
Okay.
Singapore20.
Gotcha. Sounds good. So kind of to round up this interview really fast too, is like, now that 2020 is over or almost over, what are your 2021 forward looking thoughts now? And maybe you can talk about like what you want to do with like family and with career. Those are two, I feel like, the most important.
Well, 2021 is gonna be a great year.
Yes, it is.
It is gonna be a great year, fabulous year. Actually, interestingly enough, my friend just told me that there has been a pandemic every 100 years on like 1820, 1920, and now 2020. There has been a pandemic that hit. And I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, that has nothing to do with 2021. Okay, so for 2021, this really truly year was the worst year of my life. I went through it's not just because of COVID. Even if COVID didn't hit, it was a really horrible year for me because I was really lost. I came back to Singapore, which was a lot harder than I thought, because my career path, it just does not exist here, and that's like kind of the reality of it right now. Because there are no of these Silicon Valley type of hardware startups, like SpaceX is not here, Hyperloop's not here. You know, we do have great companies like Google, Apple, all that stuff, but the jobs that I want there, they don't have it in Singapore. It's more like finance and software. But for me, I was a bit lost this year, but I've really learned a lot about myself. And for 2021, I am, first of all, I actually am going to get a job and run my jewelry thing on the side. And I'm quite excited for that. I'm in talks with a startup right now, which I'm really excited about joining. So if that happens, you guys will know. So there's that. In terms of family, I spent a lot of time this year with my family, and I guess it was definitely a big change for me getting engaged and living with my fiance. So I think this is a continuous journey. But I am hoping to give back to my family this year a bit more, in terms of even like money wise. I would love to take them out, I would love to give them things, and because this year I felt like they were just supporting me through everything, you know, mentally. I needed some help because I wasn't earning an income, right? And I want to give everything back to them next year and also just be there for them instead. And that's something that I really hope to achieve now that I'm in a much better place.
The other thing to about, because you said that 2020 was a really hard year for you as well.
Yeah.
A lot of it was recreating your identity back in Singapore.
Yeah. Because,
right, like back in the US, you had the identity of like working in engineering, like you had a good job. And
I raced motorcycles on the weekends. That was some like hardcore, like, and in Singapore, it's just like, oh shoot, what am I here?
But a lot of it was like rebuilding that up again. And I think Everyone has to do that at some point when they move back or go somewhere new. So I'm glad to see that things worked out for you.
Thank you. Still going. It's still a journey.
That's okay. I think there's people at like 50 or 60 and they're still like building their own identity. Work in progress.
Everything looks good on the outside, but then when you talk to someone, it's like, they're going through like the same problems I'm going through.
I think I probably go through like 10 different like self-identity crises like every year, so I completely
understand. You made a big move coming here too. It's not easy.
So the identity thing, I understand where you're coming from, always rebuilding it. Do you have any last words that you want to let the listeners know?
Last words,
any quotes, your favorite book, things on the top of your head? I interviewed someone and he was like, don't eat pineapple with pizza. That's what his was. So you guys can be anything.
Don't eat pineapple with pizza. I mean, that is true.
Don't put pineapple on pizza.
That is very true. Yeah. Pineapple should not be on pizza. Okay, well, my favorite quote is by Albert Einstein, actually. A ship is safe in the harbor, but that is not what it's meant for. So it's just saying kind of like you got to be brave and courageous and keep moving and doing things, even if it's out of your comfort zone. And that's how we grow, right? It's not easy. And even this year, it was like totally out of our comfort zone, even though we were technically at home. We're all in it together as well. Be courageous. Yeah. You got this.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself.
That's such a great quote. So yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thanks for being on the Asian Female Lead.
Oh my gosh, no, I'm so excited for this. Yeah. Thank you for having me.